Good afternoon, and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Stephen Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today we're going to be talking about TBA's production of Babes in Arms.
And to talk about it, we will have Shane Mitchell, who's the director of the show, and Aaron Dagon Mitchell, who was playing Bunny in the show. So welcome to Stage Talk, guys.
It's awesome to be back.
Thank you.
Thank
you for having us.
I saw this show a very long time ago. Tell me what it's all about.
Well, it's a super fun show. When people think of the kind of theatrical convention, my dad's got a barn and we're going to put on a show and save the theater, this is the show where that all came from. It was originally written in 1937 and then was updated again in 1951. I was originally in it in 1981. It was the very first musical I was ever in. And, you know, back in the days, people probably associate it most with the film by Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. It's all about young love, and there's a summer stock theater that's threatened with closing because they do such terrible shows, and the owner is a Simon Legree-ish villain, and they're doing a terrible, terrible show called The Deep North, by a man named Lee Calhoun, who they bill as Tennessee's answer to Tennessee Williams.
Mississippi's
answer to Tennessee Williams.
He's very angry and very Southern.
But, you know, it's got some farcical elements. It's got great music. Those things that have become standards, like My Funny Valentine and That's Why the Lady is a Tramp and Johnny One Note, that you hear so much and you kind of go, now, I know the song, but I don't know the show. This is that show.
And even if you've seen the movie, the movie is so different from the play. The show went so many different revisions over the years. There's three, you know, versions to it: the movie version, and then two different versions you can get. The original version, actually, you cannot get anymore, the 37 version, because of all the overt racism that was still in the show. So the 51 version is you know, cleaned up. It takes out a lot of those issues. And in 37, they were still, you know, not as forward thinking as
no.
So I'm assuming you still have some of course, the fun is still in the show.
You know, the thing of that era, this is Rodgers and Hart before Rodgers and Hammerstein, right? So we're talking about the very beginning of musical theater in America. And what a lot of people might not fully know is that musical theater was invented in America. It's our contribution to you know, the world theater scene, you know, because people associate more modern shows with the West End and developing in different places. But nope, it's an American institution. And in this time, one of the things they would do was write the songs first and then kind of write the story around it. And so they would write these things that are almost vaudeville sketches, where they would work in things like juggling. And in the middle of one song, there would be a ballet. And there are a couple of scenes that are absolutely farcical. You know, if you know the show Noises Off, it's almost got that Noises Off quality of, you know, people disappearing indoors and popping out other doors and mistaken identities and girls showing up in gentlemen's bathrobes. And it's all that pre-television entertainment that has worked into a very contemporary and lively script as the musical theater was evolving. And then it's got all of those styles of dance from back then. You know, we've got tap numbers and cha-cha numbers and ballet. And
sometimes all in the same song.
Exactly. So it's just a ridiculous amount of fun. And because it comes out of 1951, what they considered to be just a little bit naughty, you know, was almost PG-13 of the day, to us is very, very family friendly.
So, Shane, as the director of this show, I mean, you've directed all kinds of shows, all different genres, and straight plays and musicals and so forth. You're saying this is more like a vaudeville production in many ways, and that you're introducing different types of performance into the show. How do you approach something like that as a director?
That's a very interesting question. And one of the things that we do is we actually have, you know, people are familiar with a dance choreographer, right? And some people may even be familiar with a combat choreographer. One of the things that we have at our disposal is my twin brother Wayne got his master's degree in variety performing arts. So he's pretty much our comedy choreographer. So literally there are these theories of comedy that you can do comedy mathematically. and know what will get a laugh based on, you know, I don't know, angles and formulas. And so he's come in and done our farcical stuff just exactly the same way that our stage or our dance choreographers come in and do our dance choreography. And one of the things that's very difficult about directing a show like that, as you know, having been a director yourself, is trusting that person. You know, because you're saying, okay, go into another room and work on this while I work on this scene, and then I'll look at it when you're done. So you're sacrificing hours of your rehearsal process trusting this other individual. So it can be a little scary, but our team is just so awesome. Megan Blado, Kristen Fernandez are our dance choreographers, Wayne doing our comedy. You know, I couldn't ask for a better team.
Excellent. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests Shane Mitchell and Aaron Dagan talking about TVA's production of Babes in Arms, which starts next weekend.
That's right. A week from tonight.
So we say theater is the collaborative art. Not one person can do it. It sounds like you've got a clown car full of collaborators with this show.
Well, and what's particularly kind of cool, though she finds it stressful, Aaron, who plays the role of Bunny, who sings those famous songs, Johnny One Note and Way Out West and Lady is a Tramp. Yeah. She's also our costume designer. So as soon as her rehearsal is over, another whole workday begins for her on the show.
But it's a really fun time period. You know, that early 50s, it's still got a lot of that 40s flavor coming out of it. We've got a woman coming in next week to train us on hairstyles of the time period so that the cast can work with their own hair. It's kind of hard to find somebody to do all the hair of, you know, what, 20 girls, you know, in the show. But I'm really looking forward to that because I love, you know, putting the show together on that level and like adding the costumes, adding hair and makeup. And it's such a distinct looking time period. I think that's going to be a really fun thing to do and a really fun look for the audience to see as well.
That sounds very interesting. Having your actors do their own makeup and so on. They're learning. Joe, you are a learning group.
Right. You know,
and you're teaching everything, including... Yeah. Including such things as makeup and hair.
Yeah, TBA stands for Training Better Artists. And one of the things that we want to give people is a completely comprehensive education, theatrical education. Aaron and I are both alums of UAA's theater and dance program back in the 80s. And one of the great things that we got from that education is we were taught to design costumes, taught to design lights, taught to design sets, taught to design makeup. And it has made it really a gift to be able to run a company because you know you can do all of those things. And I think it's one of those things that we want to pay forward to these kids and even these adults, these community actors, to have that skill set.
Well, and I find that there's a lot more places, companies that need artists who are fully rounded like that, not just, you know, single skills.
And how many people are in the show? How large is your cast?
It's a cast of 27, which is seems fairly large until, you know, you go, our Christmas show had 56. But 27 is a nice number. We perform at Grant Hall and have that wonderful revolving stage there that's so cool. And so 27 is about what you want for a big song and dance number. It completely fills the stage and makes things very exciting.
And who is your musical director for the show?
That's Nancy Caudill, who's an amazing gift. Both Nancy and our choral master, Justin Burchell, are frequently seen in the Anchorage Opera. And Nancy is a private voice teacher as well. And they're just amazing. The things that they can do, because you listen to somebody at auditions and you go, that person can sing. That's why you cast them. And then they work with these awesome professional voice teachers and they go, oh, I can't believe I used to think they could sing because now they can really sing. And it's wonderful, and they're wonderful people. We're glad to have them on board with us.
Nancy Caudill is one of my best friends, so I'm glad to hear that.
She is just awesome. I've grown up singing in musical theater, but not with the kind of voice training that she does. And, you know, I've been a belter my whole life. I mean, I was like, well, that's what you're supposed to do. You just sing loud and you sing big. You know, Ethel Merman, here I come. And she has been, I've worked with her on several shows, and she has just been so great for me, you know, to just you know, sing properly, so you can, you know, maintain things through a long run of a show, because she just knows her stuff so well that it's just really, you know, paid off with the whole cast.
Excellent. Well, that's what you're in the business of, is training better artists. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's great to see all of these people who are part of this show who are their last credits were with another company. You know, you see a lot of communities where, you know, a theater company is this warring camp against all other theater companies. But we've got people here from Anchorage Community Theater, people from the opera, people from Cyrano's, people with a long tradition and history with us. As a matter of fact, right after we leave here, we're going to go borrow costumes from the university and Fran, you know. So all of these great theater companies who are contributing and helping to make this production happen.
If you build a barn, they will come.
There you go. There you go.
So let's talk a little bit about the set for the show. How are you doing the technical aspects of the show?
Oh, that's very interesting, because this play was written in the days when you would have like 9 grand drops, you know, and a whole new set would fly in. Grant Hall doesn't have that, but our set designer Kerry Yanagawa, who also works with the opera, we're stealing a lot from the opera, evidently.
She works everywhere.
She's worked with us for many years, and in fact has come through our program to now be not a student but a colleague. She's our set designer, and using the Revolve at Grant Hall, she's actually building a Cape Cod style theater front that is, you see it from a forced perspective, so it just looks dynamic and super cool.
And with that old time marquee on it.
The old time marquee on it, and a stage door, and, you know, functioning practical stage lights. And then the set will revolve, and we're in the barn. The set revolves the other way, and wagons flow in, and we're in the hotel room. It's just amazing how she has taken this economy of space and transformed it into all of these delightful locations.
Excellent. Well, unfortunately, we're about to run out of time.
We never have enough time to play.
We never have enough time. You guys are wonderful. And so I want to thank you, Shane Mitchell and Aaron Dagan, for coming in to talk about your TBA's production of...
of Babes in Arms.
It's always great to be here, guys.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful hosts. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming.
And now, here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to Datebook 49 on alaskapublic.org. Saturday, April 28th, that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Discovery Theater, you can see Prokofiev's classic Peter and Wolf come to life. Tickets and information at 263Arts or go to centertix.net.
Out in the Valley, an interactive dinner theater called Who Poisoned His Meatball will be presented at the First Presbyterian Church of Wasilla, located at 1375 East Bogard Road, Fridays and Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., April 27th, 28th, and 29th, and May 4, 5, and 6. Tickets can be purchased by calling 907-376-5053.
It's the last weekend to see Bugsy Malone in Eagle River at the Alaska Academy of Fine Arts. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2. This is a film noir spoof. For information, call 694-8909 or go to akfinearts.org.
Up in Wasilla, it's the last weekend to see Valley Performing Arts production of The Wizard of Oz. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
Anchorage Community Theater's production of Sherlock Holmes, The Final Adventure, opens tonight and runs through May 20th. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 3. Tickets are available at actalaska.org or call 868-4913.
And finally, beginning next weekend, TBA presents Babes in Arms at APU's Grant Hall. Performances are May 4th through the 13th, with showtimes on Friday and Saturday at 7 and matinees on Saturdays and Sundays at 3. For info, call 677-PLAY or go to TBA Theater website. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening.
You know how important KSKA is to your life, because right now you're spending your valuable time listening to a valuable service, public radio. A big part of KSKA's funding comes from right here in South Central Alaska, from listeners just like you and me.
So make your pledge online at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening and supporting Stage Talk. Until next time, I'm Stephen Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.